Good morning, cricket fans, and welcome to the Catch It podcast.
Oh, what a catch!
I'm Andrew Lush, and I started this podcast to have some interesting and insightful conversations about analytics and the stats behind the action, and to develop myself as a presenter.
Oh, brilliant!
I hope you enjoy our discussions and debates.
That is an absolutely outstanding catch.
Welcome back to the Catch It podcast and a new episode of my Super Sixes series. Today we sit down with captain of the Western Storm, Sophie Luff. Sophie is an experienced regional campaigner who has won the Kia Super League with Western Storm in 2017 and 2019. And she has captained the Western Storm since the restructuring of women's cricket in 2020. I had a great time sitting down with Sophie for this conversation, as Sophie brought a very strong batting team with a couple of really good all-rounders for this Super Six. So here is Sophie Luff's Super Six. Welcome, Sophie Luff, to the Catch It podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. I have to say, I've been over in New Zealand for the last 6 weeks before getting here, and you've just got back from Australia. How was your trip abroad?
Yeah, it was amazing. Surpassed my expectations. Everyone that I spoke to before I went out said that you'll have the time of your life, and I certainly felt that way. I really enjoyed my time in Sydney, and yeah, played a lot of cricket, probably a little bit more cricket than I expected to, but yeah, all good fun.
It's really exciting to see players like yourself, and you were over there with Kirsty Gordon as well. It's really exciting to see regional players get the opportunity to go over and play in Australia and New Zealand, players like Phoebe Graham and other kind of, and Fran Wilson going and playing in the Super Smash over there. Do you think that will just increase as regional cricket and the 100 gives more visibility to domestic players?
Yeah, I think it will definitely become more frequent and more common over the next couple of years. I think COVID obviously played a massive factor in players not being able to go abroad over the last couple of years. We've been professional domestically for a couple of years now, and I guess this was sort of like the first proper winter where we felt like we could probably go and experience that. So yeah, like you said, myself and Kirsty ended up in Sydney. I've obviously played a lot against her, and it was great to actually sort of join forces and sort of help each other train and get to know each other off the pitch as well. She's a pretty fiery character on the pitch, but she's pretty laid back and pretty easy to get on with off the pitch. So saw a different side to her, and yeah, I guess it's nice to sort of make those connections as well.
A fierce competitor on the pitch for, well, the Loughborough Lightning, but now the Nottingham Blaze. So it's nice to actually get to see a different side of people when they're actually on your team. You got to play some grade cricket as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so I played at Parramatta. That was a deal going out there, that I'd play grade cricket for them. Really exciting young club. I felt very old in their first grade lineup. I had 10 years plus on every girl in the side, which was hugely exciting, actually. I felt a lot closer to them in age than what it actually was. And a lot of the girls were involved in sort of the New South Wales cricket pathway, so they're up and coming players. A couple of the Breakers girls were involved at Parramatta as well, Claire Moore and Jade Allen. So yeah, it was a really exciting club to be a part of, and hopefully I added a little bit of experience, and hopefully they got a few learnings from me as well, which I guess was the plan, me going out there. They obviously wanted me to score a lot of runs as well, which hopefully I contributed on the pitch in that way. But I think it was more so how could I add to the group in terms of that cricket experience.
And having that experience and leadership in a young group is always exciting. We'll jump straight into your Super Six. Now, when I first looked at this team, I thought, wow, very batting heavy. But then also, I didn't know what the batting order would be. So I've taken a stab, and I think I've got it round about. So I'm guessing opening, we'll start with, you've got Beth Mooney right at the top, the classy Australian left-hander. Why did you include her in this list?
Well, because I just think
she's obvious.
Yeah, I just think she's so good. I obviously had the pleasure of playing with her at London Spirit last year. So yeah, to get to know sort of how she trains and her preparation and everything that goes in behind the scenes, you can gauge a lot from a player from the way that they prepare and I guess when you see her results on the pitch, it sort of all marries up. So yeah, I had to have Moons in there. I needed a wicket keeper as well, so she's taking the gloves for me. But just a class act. The first game of the 100 last year, she hit 97 at the Aegeus Bowl, and it was just an absolute masterclass. Wherever they put the fielders, she basically hit it where there were gaps. And yeah, just a real class act. I think she's an incredible leader as well. I don't think she's had those sort of captaincy opportunities really throughout her career, but I think she's definitely got the making of a brilliant leader. She was sort of very, very helpful in our team meetings. She's obviously played a lot of cricket and got a wealth of experience. So yeah, she's opening the batting for me.
Absolutely, a true professional. And you were, for that 97 not out, the highest women's 100 score to date. You had the other end for the last couple of overs. You had the best view in the house.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty entertaining watching it from the dugout. And then I think I ended up going out for the last set of five balls. And she was obviously very close to 100. And I probably ruined it because I think I hit four first ball. So she probably didn't actually go much on me at that moment in time. I think she would have loved 100, but obviously at that moment we're trying to get as many runs on the board. So yeah.
Do you think that this year will be the first year that we see a women's 100 in the 100? Is there kind of them being a couple of knocking around the men's? Do you think that we've got a couple of 90s? Wolfart last year hit against my team, unfortunately, the Manchester Originals, 90. We've got Mooney's 97. Who do you think is most likely to hit 100 this year? Putting you on the spot here.
Given her recent form in the WPL and the fact that she got 99 in yeah very short amount of time, I think Sophie Devine is probably the obvious candidate for that. But actually really exciting to see that London Spirit have picked up Grace Harris. I think she could go really well. I think it has to be an opening batter though. That's the thing. Even though you're talking about them hitting it off not many balls, I think the opportunity to open the batting and start your innings off, from ball one, I think that gives you the most chance of hitting 100. So I think it will naturally be an opener. And yeah, I'd probably put money on Sophie Devine being that person.
Very exciting. Also, both the Harris sisters are in the 100, so a great multiple littering of Australians around that draft. So you've got your glove or glove woman, and you've got your opening batter. Let's move swiftly on. Now, who's going to be opening with her? Now this is where you're going to have to guide me a little bit, because there are a couple of choices here. Who have you gone for opening with Beth Mooney?
I'm going to go for Smriti opening with her.
Sanders, absolutely. So, if I'm wrong, you played with her in 2017 with the Western Storm.
Yes, yeah, Smriti came over as an overseas in the KSL. So I got the pleasure of playing alongside her. And again, she had a similar impact initially, like same as Mooney. Mooney's first innings, she got 97. And I remember, I think it was Smriti's first innings at Taunton, and she tore Yorkshire Diamonds, that's what they were called in the KSL days. She tore their attack apart. We were playing on some pretty small friendly boundaries at Taunton. But the way that Smriti hit sixes was different to what I'd seen before. It wasn't brute power, it was just pure timing. She just played a beautiful knock, and I think whenever you watch her play, she's always just got an element of class about her. And yeah, I just liked it, like watching her bat. I think that season I actually I ended up not batting very often. I was batting in the middle order, and I didn't actually bat that often during the comp because Smriti was so good at the top of the order.
No, 100%. I'd about to say you had a dominant team. You had Rachel Priest in and around those KSL days as well. You had Stefani Taylor jumping in. What stood out to you for a young Smriti Mandhana? When she joined you, she was only 22 years old. So she'd been around the scene for a long time, because she debuted for India in 2013. Did she just give off an air of maturity for someone being so young, and being the pressure of being an overseas in the KSL?
Yeah, I think maturity is a very good word. I think she was just quite calm, and actually, even at being at such a young age, she just looked like she had real clarity in her game and what her game was about at that stage. But being able to back yourself, and I think clarity does allow you to do that more often than not. If you've got clear plans and you know how you play, then it gives you confidence to go out and do that. And I think that's what we saw from her in the few years that she did play at Western Storm, and we obviously had some success during that time as well.
She hasn't exactly got the innings that she would maybe wanted in the WPL. Do you think it's a lot of pressure coming into that kind of pressure environment of RCB, and we'll see a lot of her next year when she's potentially settled into the captaincy role a bit more and she feels a little bit more at home in that franchise?
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple of factors as to why she maybe hasn't performed as we'd expect. I think captaincy is probably one element of that. I don't know how much she has sort of done that in the past and being that consistent captain. I think she's done it on a couple of occasions for India, but not consistently. And I guess with the WPL, the franchise system, I guess there is more pressure on things these days. And she was obviously the wealthiest player in that draft. The pressure that brings as well, being the first pick, and you know how much money she went for. You know, I think she's probably not fussed about those sorts of things. I think she is a player that can deal with that sort of stuff. And maybe she's just in a bit of a poor run of form, which you know, the best players in the world, they are human as well. And yeah, I've no doubt that she'll be back to her best in the near future.
Absolutely. It's exciting to see a young Indian talent like her be kind of being exposed to more captaincy roles, because the Indian team has pretty much, Harmanpreet Kaur has been captaincy for that for forever, it feels like. But it's exciting to have the WPL as a chance to get those younger players chances too. Experience a captaincy role. Have you been watching much of the WPL?
I've been watching bits and pieces. It was very difficult to watch in Australia.
I was about to say, the time difference wasn't exactly the nicest.
Yeah, given the time zones, I think the games were on pretty much in the middle of the night. Since I've been home, I've managed to catch a few games. The final's tomorrow, so yeah I'll probably sit down and watch that. I think it'll be a really good contest.
That's Mumbai versus Delhi Capitals. Who are you rooting for in that final? Do you have any players that you really want to see stand out?
I do like Mumbai Indians. That would be my team in the men's comp that I've always followed. I don't really know why, so I'll stick with them in the women's side of things as well.
No, that's absolutely fair. So moving on to your number three. So you've got both your left-handed openers. Now, when I looked at your team originally, it was pretty well balanced between, you've got three right-handers and you've got three left-handers. So who's coming in that kind of third role?
I'm going to go with Heather Knight. She's coming in at three. So we'll go with a right-hander.
Just to throw a spanner into the works for any opposition trying to line you up with all the left-handers in a row. So Heather Knight obviously has been your Western Storm teammate from the KSL and through to the regional cricket now that we have with the Charlotte Edwards and the Rachel Hayhoe. What has it been like to have her as a kind of an English captain in that setup at the Western Storm for all that time?
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been amazing to, I guess, learn off what I think is one of the best players in the world and one of the best leaders. She's certainly a role model. I've known Heather for a long time. We grew up playing county cricket against each other, Somerset versus Devon, and she used to pretty much get 100 in every game. So yeah, she's certainly a role model in this part of the region. And we love having her back at Western Storm when she can these days. Obviously, she led that KSL campaign brilliantly over those 4 years. We had a lot of success winning two trophies, which was amazing. And she definitely led from the front in terms of that. So when she does come back to Storm now, it's brilliant to sort of tap into her experience and that wealth of knowledge. And I think she has a massive influence on the younger girls without even like purposely going out of her way to make that happen. I think just her presence enables the young girls to, like, she is very approachable. And I think, you know, the girls just learn so much from her being around, just watching, you know, her preparation, her routines, all of that sort of thing. I think if you're an up and coming, promising young player, you'd be stupid not to watch how Heather goes about things, because she is really a true professional.
Have you learned anything from her experiences with England in the captaincy? Because you've now captained, just to double check, it's for the last 3 years of regional cricket, you've been the captain at Western Storm, right?
Yeah, I think Heather's a very calm individual, and I think that's something that I'd be pretty calm as well. But I think just making a real conscious effort to make sure everyone else around me knows that I'm feeling calm, and I think just taking a little bit longer with my bowlers to make sure that we've got plans, and just not trying to rush through things, and trying to have an appreciation of, you know, what my players need at certain moments in the game. I'm still learning that as a captain. I think that's probably one of the biggest skills that you need to have, is to be able to know how to get the best out of people. And I think Heather does that very well, and you can probably see that at international level, how well she does that.
Those intrapersonal kind of skills to be able to know how your bowlers are feeling, and the kind of the intensity of T20 games can just, and in the hundreds, games can just run away from you, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even in the 100, I think I had a captaincy stint at Welsh Fire in the first year, and everything was happening so quickly. But I think you do actually have longer than you think. And I think the best thing I learned in the 100 was just to go with your instinct, and go on your gut, and I've certainly tried to take that back into the domestic regional scene as well.
Will she be excited because she missed last year's 100? How excited will she be back to get back into the 100, kind of to shine a light on women's cricket from her role in the London Spirit?
Yeah, I think she'll be super excited. Like I said, I've known Heather a long time, and she's a true competitor. She wants to play as much cricket as possible, and she wants to have an influence on as many games as possible. So I'm sure she's chomping at the bit to get back to Lord's. It's a pretty nice place to play. And I'm sure she's really excited about leading what is potentially a different group of players this year. We've obviously gone through the draft process now, but we've still got slots. Lots to feel, and how similar the team will feel to last year, or whether it will feel pretty different. But I think either way, she'll be really excited about leading the team again.
And you were picked up by the London Spirit in the draft. Where were you when you got the quote, saw the announcement, or got the text, or?
I was watching on the TV like everyone else. Western Storm were actually training at the time, so we had the TV on in the gym. So yeah, there was a few of the girls watching at the same time, obviously with aspirations of getting picked up as well. So it's kind of a weird dynamic, with some of you getting picked up and some of you not. But obviously they've got the opportunity to negotiate now in the open market, and yeah, hopefully there's a few more Western Storm players picked up across the 800 teams.
With Heather also brings her off spin. How much will that play a part if your six aside team? How much will Heather be called upon to bowl her potential two overs? Do you think she's going to be our frontline spinner in this team?
She might have to be, yeah, because I've
You're
gone very batter heavy. So
winning these games, these theoretical games with the bat. You're then potentially putting a lot of pressure on your bowling unit. Will you be bowling yourself in this team?
yes, I'm gonna have to bowl as well. So yeah, I mean, people are probably thinking that they'd like to bat against us, but I've seen Heather take plenty of wickets and not go for many runs. I think she does back herself with the ball as well. I quite like that. She's not afraid to throw herself the ball, especially like she's done that at international level. So yeah, I'm confident that she can lead the spin attack.
Well, I was looking up your figures, and you ha do have the best T20 figures of 2 for 12 for Somerset Women. Do you remember who you were playing?
This has got to be 10 years ago, I reckon. I haven't bowled competitively for a very long time. Growing up, I definitely thought I was going to be a bowler. And then, yeah, as I got out of Somerset age group cricket, Somerset were a team of bowlers, and I didn't really get the opportunity to bowl, and my batting was taking off at that point. So then you end up prioritizing skill sets, and yeah, my bowling sort of drifted away. But I'm sure there's some players out there that remember playing against me at sort of junior county level, and I'm sure it would have said bowled Sophie Luff, or LBW Sophie Luff, hopefully.
Cricket archives have done you dirty there, so I'll have to go back to that and look up where that 2 for 12 was. So we've got a pretty core. We've got the two left-handers right at the top. Then we've got Heather Knight slotting in there with her off spin as well. Now moving on to your number four. Who have you putting yourself in at number four, or is your last recognisable out and out batter slotting in before you?
Yeah, I'll let Phoebe Litchfield bat ahead of me.
Okay, so Phoebe Litchfield, the young Australian. I'm guessing you met her through playing with not Western Australia. Sorry about that, little bit of a slip there. Through playing with the New South Wales team.
Yeah, so I had the pleasure of meeting and spending a bit of time with Phoebe in and amongst the New South Wales Breakers. She was a little bit busy at times, off with Australia. She obviously went on tour with them to India pre-Christmas, which I probably have Phoebe to thank for my New South Wales debut, because she was away with Australia. There was a little bit of a gap at the top of the order, which meant they were prepared to play an overseas player, which they don't usually do, and that ended up being me. So thanks, Phoebe, if you're listening to this. But yeah, she obviously played for the Breakers when she got back from India post-Christmas. I got to bat with her in Victoria, I think it was. So yeah.
What was it like batting with, some say, Australia's next up and coming really great batter? The Australian system seems to kind of churn them out at the moment. It's hard to see where Phoebe Litchfield is going to fit into this Australian side. What did you get that impression of her batting style when playing with her?
Yeah, I think Phoebe's got a lot of potential, and I think at the minute it's almost a waiting game for her in terms of how she's going to get into that Australian setup. She obviously had a few opportunities with Alyssa Healy being injured over this period of time as well, and she certainly took that opportunity and showed how good she is, even at international level. She just took to it like a duck to water, just made it look effortless. And I think that's probably how I would describe her batting. At times it does look effortless. I mean, left-handers always look so great anyway, but she's got all the shots. She's just got so many options. And yeah, it's just exciting seeing someone so young, I guess, just sort of take the game on, be really clear on what she's really good at, and hungry to score. To score big runs. And if she keeps doing that, then Australia will have to find a way of getting her into that side more regularly.
When your young gun comes into the team in the Pakistan ODI series and scores a 78 not out and a seven and a oh sorry yeah 78 not out and a 67 in a second innings, that is some serious talent and serious talent waiting to explode. She's one of the in-form batters and a key batter for the Sydney Thunder, the franchise team. Do you view next year, the next year's WBBL, as a bit of a breakout year for her potentially?
Yeah, I think so. It'll be interesting to see how she goes under a new coach. I know that she'd been working with Trevor Griffin at Sydney Thunder for quite a while, and I know he rates her really highly. And I guess that was the brilliant thing about me going out to Australia and seeing firsthand. He'd said that she was a good player, and then you see sort of firsthand just how good she is. I think she had a leading role with the bat for Sydney Thunder last year. I think they had a pretty tricky competition, and they did struggle. And Phoebe was probably,
The
yeah, I think Phoebe was probably still the shining light out of their season. But yeah, I'm sure that she'll be hungry to sort of lead their batting style. And I think if everyone else can, they can build around someone like Phoebe. I think they'll be pushing for silverware. You just don't know in these franchise competitions. One year you could get the wooden spoon, and the next year you can top the table and you can go on to win the competition. So yeah, I've no doubt that if they do sort of pin their batting style around Phoebe at the top and build a good dynamic middle order, then I'm sure they can go well next season.
She has that dynamic versatility about her batting in terms of when she's in Australia, she comes in the middle order because they're so packed at the top with Healy and Mooney. And then when she's with the Thunder, and I think for the WNCL with New South Wales, she started at the top of the order. Is that why you'd say in the Super Six team, she's kind of floating around that order, kind of she can work in a load of different slots?
Yeah, I think so. And she's not getting past Smriti or Mooney at the top of the order at the minute. I know Mooney has batted in the middle order for Australia as well, but yeah, that's why Phoebs is in the middle order. She can work her way up to the top.
She'd be getting to be a bit gutted. Would you say her preferred position is opening because she just wants to see as many balls as possible, or is she not fussed? She comes in and plays to the situation for the team.
I've not had that conversation with her. I get the impression that she wants to be at the top, though. She's hungry to score as many runs as possible, and I think people with that mindset, they want to get out there and they want to get on with things, and it gives her the opportunity to score big runs, and we've seen her do that on numerous occasions over the last 6 months.
So we've got Smriti Mandhana, we've got Beth Mooney, we've got Heather Knight slotting in terms of number three right-hander. Then we've got Phoebe Litchfield, the young gun from Sydney Thunder and New South Wales. And then are you slotting yourself in? Slotting yourself in at five?
I'll go at five, yeah. My number six might not be that happy about that, but I can deal with that.
Would your number six be wanting to put chuck herself in the number five role to try coming in late in the order and try hit some boundaries? Her batting has become more and more of a threat in the last couple of years. As an analyst, I'm never going to not count out this woman. Do you reckon she's happy going at six, or she's raring to be up the order in the teams that she plays for?
I think she'd always want to bat higher, but I've seen her play some brilliant finisher roles. And when I say finisher roles, they are on the biggest stage under the highest pressure. For those that are trying to guess who I'm talking about, there was a semi-final in the World Cup at Bristol where she had to come in and she basically hit her first ball for four to win the game for England. And yeah, just nerves of steel. Yeah, and very, very reliable.
We are talking about Anya Shrubsall, the World Cup winner in 2017. And I have a personal story about Anya Shrubsall. My first game ever being the funder analyst was down, we came and played in Bristol. We played down in Bristol and we got down to the last wicket and we just couldn't get Anya Shrubsall out. And it was 300 and it was my first experience of regional cricket. And we lost on the last ball and I was just gutted. I just got into the role and Sophie's team and Anya's team just tipped us at the post. Going back to her World Cup win, where did you watch the World Cup final in 2017? And did you feel that kind of that marquee moment, England winning the World Cup in England at Lord's?
Yeah, I did watch it. I wasn't actually there, which probably if you speak to the majority of female cricketers, they probably were at Lord's or near Lord's in some capacity. But yeah, I was at home watching on my TV. Ah. And it was just remarkable, really. I think you know how good Anya is and her record speaks for itself. But she'd have believed that she can win that game and she did. And yeah, I definitely agree that I think it was a turning point for women's cricket in England. I think since then, we've obviously seen domestic contracts and the professional game just go through the roof, really. And I think that came from that moment, even though it probably took a few years to get there and COVID didn't help things either. But I think the ECB from that point onwards were committed to pushing the women's game forward. And yeah, it's crazy to think sort of 6 years down the line where we are. And when you think where we could be in the next 5, 10 years, it's crazy, really.
Really exciting to be involved. I have to say, from my own personal view of being involved in women's cricket, it's a really exciting space to be in. Did you remember when Anya Shrubsall got a catch dropped off? I think it was Jenny Gunn dropped a catch with a kind of a couple of balls to go. What was your feeling when you saw that catch go down on how Anya would react to it?
I think she'd have been fuming for a few seconds, and then if I know Anya, she's pretty sort of logical, analytical. She'd have just been like, right, okay, if you're not going to help me out in the field, then I'm going to do it myself. And she'd have just taken that on and just had a real focus on the next ball. And yeah, we obviously saw that. She took matters into her own hands, didn't she? And yeah, obviously a very memorable day for her and the team.
Cricket is like that in terms of, do you find it sometimes hard to actually, if a catch goes down or a missed run out chance goes, do you find it hard to potentially reset a team as a captain? Is that a challenge to sometimes get a team to refocus in that way, or get a bowler back on that line of, right, we've had a bit of a mix up here, but we've got to go again now?
Yeah, I think it is a challenge, and it's probably something that I've learned as well. I used to, when I was skippering and I was a lot younger, I used to sort of live and breathe every ball, and it was tiring, like really tiring. And you have to remember that you've got 10 other people on the pitch with you, and you can't necessarily control what they do in those moments and how things unroll and how things happen. So just trying to stay a little bit more relaxed about things and just try and focus on the next ball. Me personally, just try and, you know, that's gone, I can't change it, let's focus on the next ball. And then I think it just goes back to what I was saying earlier about what Heather does really well in terms of knowing our players and how they react to things, because in those moments someone might just need a little bit more encouragement and a pat on the back, and you know, it's okay, like don't worry. For some players they probably hate that, sort of fluffing up things. They probably actually want a bit of a kick up the arse and right, let's go here, like smash the next ball or do whatever it is that you're doing. Focus on that next ball and give it everything, and a little bit more of a stern word, I would say. And I guess it's just knowing the nuances of your team and how your teammates react to things.
Which camp would you say Anya falls into in those two realms?
I think as she's got a lot older, she won't mind me saying that she's getting older. I mean, everyone's getting older these days. I think she definitely just someone that probably just wants to be left alone.
Knows
And
her plan, she knows her game, and how she will then move on from a letdown or a setback.
yeah, so yeah, just probably leave Anya alone and just let her get on with things. Yeah, that's probably how I would go about it. But that wouldn't work for everyone. You know, I think of sort of our bowling contingent at Storm, we're pretty young at the minute. So I mean, it'd be pretty brave of me just to leave them to their own devices. But you know, some of them are taking on more responsibility with the ball now as well, and have more ownership around their field sets and their plans, which is really exciting. And I think that in itself shows how far the game's come in a short amount of time. You know, the fact that they've got professional contracts now, the amount of contact time these girls are having with coaches, they're getting to know their game so much better, so much earlier. You know, I'd say that I probably only learned my game towards the back end of my 20s, which is where I am now, and I'm pretty comfortable with that. And I look at some of the girls who are 20, 21 in our squad, and I was nowhere near knowing my game at that age. But I think these days they're just so much further ahead, which again, really exciting to see where the game's going to go because of that skill development a lot earlier.
Very exciting to see where the women's game is progressing and kind of developing. So your lead wicket taker, or the hopefully the lead wicket taker for this Lough Super Six team, Anya Srubsall. Do you have a favourite wicket that she has taken, or a favourite moment from playing her in the KSL days or with Western Storm when she played there?
Favorite wicket. She's taken
She's
so many
taken too many.
when I played with her. I've obviously grown up playing at Somerset with her from a very young age, and she was very good back then, and she's obviously gone on to have a stellar career as well. There's not one wicket that sort of sticks in my mind. I know you mentioned the game at Bristol where we did win in the last over, and she hit the winning runs, and I think she hit something stupid like 60 off 30 balls that day. And I think it just goes to show how good she was with the bat as well. And growing up with her at Somerset, she always played a key role in so many games with the bat. She'd bat in top order, bat in the top four most games, and obviously really didn't get that opportunity with England. And she would have been batting at sort of 7-8 in that Western Storm game for us then as well. But yeah, just under pressure, she's very cool, calm, collected. She would have had a young Lauren Filer at the other end who, make no bones about it, at that stage in her career, she'd have been pretty hopeless with the bat. I don't think we had much faith in her going out there, but Anya obviously kept her calm at the other end, and I think Eccles bowled the last over and we managed to get the runs. And yeah, Anya was pretty much a hero that day. And yeah, it's been great to see her career sort of always, there's always been something better that she goes on to. I think that's what's been so great about her career, is when you think she's sort of down and out, she sort of comes back and proves a point. So yeah.
A real fighter. And I have to say, from the opposition point, it was a gutting experience. Cricket can be a brutal game at times, and watching Anya Srubsall deposit a couple of sixes into the close near boundary, I was just like, oh gosh, can we just get this girl out? It was an experience to be watching and be involved in the support staff in such a close game. And it's like exciting to see her now developing into a coaching role. She's been over and as an assistant coach with Charlotte Edwards in the sixes in the WBBL. How exciting is that to see professional players now moving from having that option to move from their playing careers straight into coaching careers? You think of people like Charlotte Edwards, people like Laura Marsh at Sunrisers and with the Oval Invincibles. How as exciting is it to see those players kind of be visible in the coaching space?
I think it's really important, and again, it shows the shift of where the women's game is going, that those roles even exist for those girls to go into. I think that's the exciting thing for me, is there are these opportunities to go into assistant roles, like Anya's doing at Vipers. She's a bit of a player coach there at the minute, as she probably is looking to transition out of the game, and whether coaching is something that she wants to go into full time. I guess she's getting a little bit of like best of both worlds, and she's exploring that coaching and to see whether it is something she wants to do later down the line. Laura Marsh is a great example of someone that again has gone into an assistant role within the women's game, and you know, in a few years' time she might want the opportunity to try and be a head coach, like Lottie, like Danny Hazel at the Diamonds. I think that's the thing for me, that these roles even exist. And you know, we speak about the opportunities from a playing point of view all the time, how exciting it is for young girls getting into the game now that there's a career in cricket. And I think we focus mainly on the playing side of things, but think about, you know, the officiating side of things, the likes of Anna Harris coming into the umpiring world at such a young age, and then all those coaching roles that are available as well. I think it is really exciting.
Very exciting times for the women's game in a whole space, and women in the sporting world as a whole. So we're coming on to, we'll switch back to Anya Srubsell. We'll go in at six, and then we'll just, one of the innings I was intrigued to talk about is your 157 versus the Sunrisers in the first year of the Rachel Hayhoe 50 over trophy. What was that like, scoring such a dominant score?
Yeah, it feels like a long time ago. It was the back end of the 2021 season, I think. Yeah, it was the last game of the season. We're playing Sunrisers at Bristol. I certainly didn't feel that fluent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a case of sort of scrapping hard and getting through. And yeah, I don't really know. I think some of these innings, like when you do have an innings like that, it does become a little bit of a blur, really. I remember getting to 100, and I don't think I had that much time left in the game, really. I think Danny Gibson actually came out to join me, and if anyone knows Gibbo, she's pretty destructive and wants to hit maximums and only deals in boundaries, really. She's not the biggest fan of running between the wickets, which is probably one of my biggest strengths. So yeah, usually it's get her on strike and let's not do much running. But yeah, I just got into a good space once I got to 100, just prepared to play a few more shots. I remember sort of getting across my stumps and sort of lap sweeping some of the seamers, which is not something that is synonymous with my game. It's not a massive strength of mine, but I guess sometimes when you sort of, yeah, just get into a really good space, and you feel like you can almost hit bowlers anywhere. And that was just one of those days where you get a little bit of luck and things go your way, and yeah, just sort of ran with it. And yeah, you don't ever envisage you know, getting 150 in a game just like that. But yeah, it was just one of those good games, good days, and I guess one that I'll look back on fondly.
Exciting to be able to contribute so much and so dominantly with the bat. To score such a big score, do you have to run with your luck a bit?
Yeah, I think like I prefer playing one day cricket, 50 over cricket anyway, and I'm not someone that is that quick out of the blocks anyway. Someone that sort of accumulates and builds into my innings, and probably like my running between the wickets creates a tempo and a dynamicness to my innings, rather than sort of boundary striking. So yeah, I guess sometimes you just have to get through certain patches and hope that you get one away, and then all of a sudden things click into action. Sometimes it's just a bowling change then ends up suiting you, and I probably, no doubt, that I think I struggled against the seamers initially. You know, they might have been like getting a little bit of a nip on a green Bristol wicket, and then once the spinners come on, I feel like I can dominate spin a little bit more, and that's probably what got me going on that day. But yeah, it's just one of those things where when you are in or having one of those days, it's about cashing in and making it as big as possible. And yeah, I'm proud that, you know, I am sort of someone that is hungry enough to really kick on and like not give it away. I think, you know, once you get to 100, like you start to be like more expansive and
got a bit of a liberty then.
Yeah, you do have more of a license, don't you? You've almost done the hard work. You've set the game up for your team, and you're into the back five overs, and your power hitter comes out with you, and it's like, oh, we're just gonna have we're just gonna have some fun here.
This is just relaxed, very casual batting.
Yeah, it's like, oh, if I get out, I get out. Like, I've done my job. So you have a bit of a free license. And that's what I mean about in terms of the shot selection that I was probably using towards the back end of that innings. I had the license to be able to do that. I'm probably not getting across my stumps and lap sweeping the seamers when I'm in single figures, realistically.
It'd be very, very unconventional. And definitely as an analyst, I would be scratching my head to see you do playing a shot like that early in the first five balls. Well, a very interesting team and very interesting to talk about. So just rattle through them. We've got Beth Mooney, and also I very much appreciate the thought that you've gone in. We've got those London Spirit players. We've got those Western Storm back in the KSL days, which I don't think we mentioned. You won with the Western Storm in 2017 and 2019. So two titles, which is incredible in, as you said, franchise cricket. A lot of ups and downs. So we have those two left-handers. We got Phoebe Litchfield, the Australian, getting in that. Oh, sorry, I've missed out. Ah, oh, there we go. Heather Knight. Oh, sorry, Heather. Don't want to mention Heather out. Heather's in at three. And then we've got Phoebe Litchfield, versatile Australian, coming around in that number four slot. You slotting in at five. And then Anya Shrubsall finishing off. So a very strong batting attack. I'm not saying it's a weak bowling attack. You'd be very, very sceptical to say that any team with Anya Shrubsall in at any stage of her career would be a weak bowling attack. But an interesting bowling attack. Who would potentially, between Mandana and Litchfield, who would you bet on bowling the odd over if you were down to a squeeze in a game?
I've actually seen Phoebe bowl in a charity game and can confirm that I would definitely not be using her.
I'm sorry, Phoebe Litchfield, if you are going to be a future guest on this podcast for Sophie Love. What does she bowl? When she does bowl?
She actually bowls little right arm meds.
Nice.
Not many of them were landing on the cut strip, so yeah.
Oh dear, so definitely an exciting batting attack, and maybe you're winning the games with the bat there. Well, thank you very much, Sophie, for spending the time here, and thank you very much, and best of luck for the season with the Western Storm.
Thanks, Andrew.
Another really interesting Super 6 team there from Sophie Luff. Thank you very much to Sophie for coming on the podcast, and I will be soon bringing you another Super 6 episode, as well as our Game Changers and Young Gun series. Thank you for listening, and I can't wait to bring you more episodes. Goodbye.